Well, during Lent, we have been looking at the idea of Lent awakening. Lent awakening is an invitation to let Jesus work in your life, to reveal more of his truth to us. We've looked at how Jesus reveals truth to us when we let his light shine in the darkness. We've looked at being humble. We've looked at how Jesus heals us. And last week via video, we looked at what difference we are making for the kingdom of God, and is our good enough? Well, the church is our spiritual home, and church gatherings like this could be considered like a family meal. As the family gathers in love and praise in unity, transformation happens. Hidden hurts are healed. Racial, ethical, social, economic, and political divides overcome. Differences in what each family member hears Scripture says draws the family closer together. Family members actually listen to one another and humble themselves before God while affirming the presence of Christ in the Word. This is what the body of Christ looks like. Jesus said that he was with his disciples as his heavenly Father was with him. To that end, the church would be perfectly made one. In John 17:23, it says, "I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought in complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me." So this morning, our theme is Jesus unites us. Lord, you are worthy of all praise. We gather here this morning in community, united in worship to the Holy God. Holy Spirit, speak afresh to each one of us and draw us closer to you. This we pray in your mighty and loving name. Amen. Please take a seat.
Morning. There we go. Well, the reading today is from Philippians 2, and it's from verses 1 to 11. Okay, up there says different. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, it's just the first page. Okay. So therefore, if any of you have encouragement from being united with Christ, if any of you have comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking up the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Let's have an offering prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for uniting your church in Christ. Just as you united those first followers in Jesus, the incarnate Christ. We confess that we have not always lived in that oneness with our spiritual brothers and sisters. We ask you, Lord, to give us discernment beyond our short-sightedness, openness to the diversity around us, and acceptance of the differences among our fellow followers of Christ. Help us to be your unifier and a part of your reconciling work in the church and in the world around us. We ask this in the name of our uniting Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Someone once said that the greatest argument for Christianity is Christians. There's nothing more compelling than those that live their life for Christ. Would you agree? What about this? Someone also said the greatest argument against Christianity is Christians. There's nothing more discouraging than other Christians who don't live the life of Christ. I'm sure we all know people who at times could fit into both categories. Perhaps at times we've fitted into both categories ourselves. Well, according to 2 Philippians, and this one will come up on the screen, 2 Philippians 2 that Jody read for us, we are united with Christ to unite with others. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. We looked at this passage a few weeks ago when we looked at this idea of being humble. We touch on it again today with this idea of unity. Unity in the church is one of the major topics found throughout the whole book of Philippians. If we go back a few verses into chapter 1, we find Paul says this to the church. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Hear those words of unity that Paul uses? I know you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one. The emphasis in this first passage of Philippians in chapter 1 is on unity in the face of external pressure from external sources. In other words, they're challenged by Paul to remain united in the face of political, cultural, and other worldly pressure that they're facing. Even today, I think, when we look at the church as a whole, we are facing a lot of pressure from external sources. A few years ago in Nara, for example, they used to open the council, the city council meetings in prayer. And the council voted against that and saying, oh, we're not Christian people, we shouldn't open that in prayer. And the Christian church in Nara faced a lot of pressure from political sources. I'm sure there's other examples that we all can look to locally, where in the face of political, cultural, and otherworldly pressure, the church has been reminded and challenged to stay united. We jump into Philippians chapter 2, which we read earlier, and Paul continues to urge the church to remain united, but this time in the face of pressure from within. As I said earlier, the greatest argument against Christianity is Christians also. There's always going to be threats to unity from all directions. But we must remain united no matter what. Years ago when I was a youngster, when I was a wee little lad, oh, that's St. Paddy's Day today. I was a wee little leprechaun. Years ago, there was a Peanuts cartoon strip with Lucy in it demanding that Linus change the TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he didn't change the channels. And he says, what makes you think you can walk right in here and take over, said Linus. These five fingers, said Lucy. Individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together into a single unit, they're a weapon that is terrible to behold. What channel do you want? He asks. Turning away, he looks at his own fingers and says, why can't you guys get organized like hers? Well, perhaps not. That's not the kind of unity we want. But individually, we don't achieve much as a church. But together, we can be a kingdom weapon to behold. Anyway, back to Philippians. In chapter 2, the first four verses that we look at in the Greek is one long sentence. Paul probably got carried away a little bit in talking about this idea of unity that he forgot to take a breath and stop for a second. But in this chapter 2, it doesn't take long to get to his main point. We see it very early in verse 2 where it says, make my joy complete by being like-minded. Make my joy complete by being like-minded. Some translations, instead of like-minded, use of the same mind. Paul wasn't saying that we should all think and do everything the same way. It doesn't mean that we should all have the same opinion on everything. The expression is focused on an attitude rather than an action. In other words, we need to have an attitude of unity rather than just acts of unity. For Paul, there was unity in diversity. We don't have to agree on everything. In some things, we may have to agree to disagree, and that's okay. Now, someone wrote this, in the essentials, let there be unity. In the non-essentials, let there be liberty. In all things, let there be love. We don't have to agree on everything, but we must agree on the principles, on the essential teachings, like the Trinity, that we are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ. But on preferences, we can disagree, as long as we disagree agreeably. In other words, we don't have to divide over non-essential issues, such as choice of music, on our tastes of clothing, on our hairstyle, or our uniform choice. Let us major on the major, and let us minor on the minor. Here's the thing about unity. Christ made unity possible. We're not trying to be united. We are already united because of Christ. In verse, let's just read together these verses, verses 1 and 2. Let's read these together.
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded.
See, the thing is, Christ made unity possible for us. I wonder if a better way of reading this passage might be like this way. I'll go to the next slide there. Let's read this one together.
Because you have encouragement from being united with Christ, because you have comfort from his love, because you have fellowship with the Spirit, because you have tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded.
Christ made unity possible, and we can be united with each other. Well, today's theme for this part of Lent is being united with Christ, that Jesus unites us. And just really quickly, there's three little things I want to point out, and I'm going to do this really quickly. We are encouraged by being united with Christ. We are encouraged because of our unity with Christ. Verse 1 starts by saying, if you have, or since you have, encouragement from being united with Christ. When we accept Jesus as our Saviour, we are united with him spiritually speaking. We're reminded in Galatians chapter 2, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We are one with Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. We are one with our Lord who humbled himself, and we are encouraged to follow his example. That passage that says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Our attitude should be that of the same as Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And being united with Christ means that we can experience comfort through God's love. Continues in verse 1, if you or since you have comfort from his love, it says. Romans 5:5 tells us that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. I love that verse. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. There's not enough time in one day to stop and pause and think about all the ways that God loves us. It's endless when we start thinking about the ways that God loves us. And God has poured out his love into our hearts. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more encouraging or comforting in knowing that God loves me. In the tough times, in the good times, in the times where you just need that spiritual hug, so to speak, there's nothing more encouraging or refreshing in knowing that God loves me. And finally, because we're united with Christ and because that God loves me, because he loves each one of us, we can enjoy fellowship with his Spirit. If you have, or since you have, fellowship with the Spirit, it says in verse 1. And fellowship means to share or have something in common with someone else. The Holy Spirit is one of those blessings we receive when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. He dwells in each one of us. I don't know if you've seen what Paul did here, and whether he must have done it on purpose, but in this that small bit he demonstrated the unity of the Trinity in there. We can look at that on Trinity Sunday after Easter one time perhaps. But I like how the Message paraphrase has put this verse. It says this, if you've gotten anything out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favour. Agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Yesterday I had the privilege of attending just next door the induction of their new pastor, Reverend Hung Park. He's a Korean pastor. And they've been waiting 2 years to get a new minister into that church. And yesterday we had the privilege of attending his induction. They invited ministers from all the churches around Gungahlin to come and be part of that, as well as from different churches as well, which I thought was quite a special thing, even from the Islamic mosque just up the road there. I thought, oh, we missed that opportunity. It's something we should pencil in. The Salvation Army should do that as well. But one thing I noticed there, they invited us all up to greet they invited all the ministers in town to come up and greet the new minister. And what stood out for me was that here are a number of different ministers from a number of different churches. We all have different focuses. We all have some different understandings and priorities in terms of Scripture. But here we are as the body of Christ, encouraging, welcoming, blessing, and wishing well a fellow pastor in town. It was a wonderful display of church unity for kingdom purposes. It's a wonderful expression of what unites us is more than what divides us. It was this wonderful display that Christ unites us for kingdom purposes. What unites us is more than what divides us. And just before Jesus was arrested, he prayed this prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I in them, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Here's Jesus preparing, knowing what's ahead of him, praying for unity, that they may be one, that they may be brought in complete unity to let the world know. Christ has made unity possible. He prayed that you and I would be united. He prayed that the churches would be united. Will we be part of the answer to his prayer? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you that each one of us can be different and you don't call us all to be the same. Thank you that it's okay for us not to agree on all things. But Lord, help us to agree and be united on what's essential. Lord, in unity there is great strength. So Lord, I pray for the churches as a whole, that we would be united for kingdom purposes. Lord, that when you send great revival into our community, that as a church body, that we would be united. Lord, that it wouldn't be a case of Christianity being a bad example for other people, but Christianity and Christians would be the ultimate example of what it means to be a follower of Christ, and people would see that and be drawn to that and want to learn more and want to be a follower of Christ themselves. So Heavenly Father, we are united people. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your body, your church on earth. We ask for your Holy Spirit to help and empower us to draw closer together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not just the ones we naturally gravitate towards, but those we feel awkward with, foreign to, or threatened by. Enable us to help rather than be a hindrance to the unity and the witness of your body. I ask this in the name of the uniting Jesus. Amen. But therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.